Good morning. Our scripture today is from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, for by doing so you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good.
Well, it was 2009 at the Metrodome when my friend Randy Evers and I were going to the Minnesota Viking Green Bay Packer game. And as we arrived a little early and we sat in our seats, we were going to enjoy a great game. But then the person that came in next sat down right in front of us, and he was wearing the largest purple sombrero I had ever seen in my life. We couldn't even see the field. And so we politely asked if he would remove his sombrero, of which he said, no. And so we ended up having to ask the usher, and the usher came and politely asked the man to remove his sombrero, and he did. Do you want to know the final score of the game? Packers 23, your Minnesota Vikings 30. But just so you know, it took our old quarterback to beat the Packers. So how to win friends and influence people. You've probably heard that book. And we're gonna look at how to win friends and avoid making enemies this morning. That is the question that we're going to explore as we look at this passage. But just so you know, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we really are not given an option in regards to this. We are given a specific command on how to treat people, in particular those people we often see as our enemies. In Matthew 5, 44, it says, "But I, Jesus, say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." And then in Luke 6, 27 through 28, it reiterates this. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." One of the things that should make Christians stand out above anyone else who holds different religious views or worldviews is how we treat people that we disagree with. We are to love, pray for, bless those that we perceive are our enemies. That is what sets and should set apart a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus actually is our model in this regard. Because do you know that at one time we stood as enemies to God? And yet, what did God do for us? We read in Romans 5:10 this, "For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." If we were enemies of God and God would send his one and only Son to die for us, it becomes the model by which we are to love and care for people that we don't even necessarily like. Now, I need to explain this a little bit. Loving doesn't mean we simply agree with the other person or accept what the other person does. It's far more complex than that. If it takes absolute agreement to love another human being, we will find it hard to even love ourselves. Because, you know, there are times that I find that I'm doing something I don't even like, and yet I still need to love myself. But it doesn't mean that we have to agree at the same time. We still can show love, bless, pray for, and care for people with whom we disagree. But this takes a Christ-like maturity that exceeds normal human behavior. We need the Holy Spirit to help us to love like this. In verse 12:9, it says, "Let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good." If Jesus, who is holy in every way, could love us while we were yet sinners, surely we can strive to show love like Jesus showed us love. I'm not saying that this is at all easy. In fact, I believe it's extremely hard. But it is possible to show love to a person and yet, do I dare say it, abhor what they're doing. In today's world and culture, it appears that this is not a possibility. Thus, we are repeatedly told that to love someone, we need to accept whatever they do. But what does God's word actually say? It appears that this is a possibility that we should be aiming at and striving to be in our relationship with others. You know, as a parent, you quickly learn that sometimes you choose to love your children even though you don't appreciate their behavior. For example, if you were to let your children decide what to eat at every meal, they would probably choose to eat what we know as comfort foods, ice cream, pizza, potato chips, you name it. But would it be a loving thing to let your children do that at every meal? No. And so sometimes love is actually taking the step to say, no, I'm not going to let you do that. Sometimes love doesn't even feel very loving, does it? Especially when it does not receive approval of what that person is doing. That's why as a parent, we sometimes hear the words, "You're mean. I hate you." And it's simply because they're not getting what they want. But you're actually loving them in the process. In today's world, it often feels like this for the Christian, doesn't it? That you're being told by culture, Christ says you're to love, but you're not very loving. As always, we should evaluate our motives to see if that we are truly being Christ-like and loving. To love people and to hate evil at the same time seems like a conundrum in our culture today. Yet this is what Jesus calls us to do. We need to learn that it is possible to show love, give dignity to everyone, and yet we don't have to agree with everyone's decisions and choices. On the other hand, we also need to learn that sin is still sin, and that we cannot approve of sin in any shape or form. It is possible to love people and yet not approve of sin. We, in truth, do this all the time in regards to ourselves and to those with whom we are closest. Loving people should never be the same as approving of their sin. How can I say this? Because Jesus loved us while we were yet sinners. He even went to the point of dying for us, but he never approved of our sin. So that sin no longer has to reign in our lives. because of what Jesus did for us. This is how I say that it's possible to let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. If you know me, this is a little change in direction, but if you know me, you know that I like to win. Whatever the competition is, I play to win. Now, not everybody's like this. I don't understand. I mean, if it's Candyland, I'm playing to win. Actually, believe it or not, I was okay with my kids winning at that. But I'm a competitive person. And, you know, the interesting thing about Romans 12:10, it says something about competition. This is what we read. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. Now, I realize that this doesn't mean that we're keeping score, but it does reflect the attitude that we should have. And what is that attitude? That attitude is that we should strive to outdo one another in honor, love, and respect. Now, over the years, as people have come to me seeking counseling, this is what usually happens. The man or woman comes to me, and they come and tell me everything that is wrong with the other person. And their goal is that I would take their side and somehow fix the other person, which I've learned a long time ago, you can't fix another human being. The only human being you can actually work on is yourself, and in truth, that's pretty hard to change yourself, isn't it? But the reality is that love is not about what you get, what you receive from the other person. Love is about what you give to the other person. It's not about me, me, me. It's about you, you, you. And that's how we outdo one another when it comes to love and honor. Instead of us just looking at ourselves and seeing what I can get out of it, it should be, what can I do to bless this other person? In fact, this is how the world is to decide if we're really a follower of Jesus Christ. John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. All people, an emphasis on the all, means that loving one another becomes our greatest witness to Christ. And this is how we should be known, as people who love one another. Again, another shift here. We're going to get back to the topic of how to love friends and enemies in a bit. But I want to talk about the next list that you find in Romans 12. And we've all seen them, whether it's been at the store or you walk into someone's house, you see those short little phrases, kind of words to live by. Well, Romans 12, 11 through 13 gives us a list of words to live by that if we could kind of adapt them for our own lives, they could have a profound impact on our lives. So if we look at Romans 12, 11 through 13, we read this. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, and seek to show hospitality. Those little phrases, wouldn't it be great to put on little, you know, wood plaques to put around your house, that if we could just adopt those and live by those, they would have a profound impact on our life. I want to read it from the Message, just because it's kind of a neat rendition of the translation. It says, don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be alert servants of the Master, cheerfully expectant. Don't quit in hard times. Pray all the harder. Keep or help needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Anyone out there ready to make some plaques? Wouldn't they be wonderful plaques? You could probably make some money on them too. But some of them would sell better than others, I see. And I want to go through that list again. And what I want you to do as I go through that list, pick one or two of them that you are going to commit to trying to live by. Okay? And I'm going to give you the ESV version and the Message version at the same time. But you're going to pick one or two of these, and just so you know, I'm going to have you share them with the person next to you. So you're ready, okay? The first one is, do not be slothful in zeal, or don't burn out. I think that says a lot about how we live, doesn't it? In other words, we should have energy and passion and take care of ourselves so that we can maintain that energy and passion. The next one is, be fervent in spirit, or keep yourself fueled and aflame, much like the same one. We should have passion for life. The next one is, serve the Lord, or be alert servants of the Master. The next is, rejoice in hope, or be cheerfully expectant. Kind of an anticipation of what God wants to do in our lives. Be patient in tribulation, or don't quit in hard times. In this world where people quit, what a challenge. Be constant in prayer, or pray all the harder. That's a pretty good one. When life gets tough, just keep praying. Contribute to the needs of the saints, or help needy Christians. In fact, today we're taking a compassion offering that fits pretty well with that. Seek to show hospitality, and I like the Message version, be inventive in hospitality. Won't that be fun, to be inventive in hospitality? So there's your list, and hopefully you picked one of those. Imagine how impactful followers of Jesus Christ could be if they took these words to live by and started to live by them. And so, has everyone picked one of those or two of those? I want you to share them now with another person. Words to live by from that list. Well, that's good to see Jim and Lori get close there. They were set apart. I don't know what that was about. All right. Does anyone want to share what the other person shared? That way it's easier. You don't have to talk about yourself. You can talk about the other person. That's a secret, you know. Get a person to talk about the other person. Anyone want to share what they picked, or the other person picked, and maybe a little bit of why? Come on. Jim and Mary. Okay. Should be what? Be patient. In tribulation. Okay, be patient. So, any other one want to share? Come on. This is your chance. Okay. Okay. So the next time over at your house, I'm going to be seeing if you're showing me hospitality. Okay. Yeah. Wes had... It is easy to become complacent, isn't it? So, well, the two that I decided to choose was rejoice in hope or be cheerfully expectant. You know, sometimes you can get bogged down in the here and now, but to have this expectation, hope in something that God's going to do. And the other was be constant in prayer or pray all the harder. Imagine, again, what our lives could look like if we just took these little short phrases and lived by them. Our lives could be changed and transformed. The interesting thing is that this is a short list, and it's a beautiful and powerful list of short phrases, but it doesn't even end there. If we go a little further in Romans, this is what we read. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be wise in your own sight, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. So we have some more plaques to make, or more signs to make. I want to read again the message to you. Bless your enemies, no cursing under your breath. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share tears when they're down. Get along with each other. Don't be stuck up. Make friends with nobodies. Don't be the great somebody. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you, get along with everybody. I mean, these are the kind of things that elementary teachers try to teach to kids, aren't they? And yet, I think us adults need to learn them again, too, don't you? It's a wonderful, powerful list of how to live in the context of human relationships. The world would simply be a better place if Christ followers lived by these little phrases. But what I want to focus on is what Paul took time to expound on. And that's what we talked about first, is how to treat not just our friends, but our enemies. And I want to focus on the beginning of the bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them, or bless your enemy, no cursing under your breath. The Apostle Paul hones in on this particular area, I believe, because it's the most challenging. He understands that what sets Christians apart is that we should be different than every other person that holds a different worldview. That we can actually love, bless, pray and care for our enemies. This, as I've already said, doesn't mean that we agree or accept everything a person believes or does, but that we can treat a person with worth even if we disagree or don't approve of a person's behavior. About a year and a half ago, I was asked to speak at Rotary Club, and one of the persons asked this question. They asked the question, what about Muslims? Because they knew I was a pastor, and they wanted to know how a Christian should treat Muslims. And this is my answer that I gave. This might come as a surprise to you, but I believe Jesus would say to the Muslim, hey, let's go out for lunch. They would have a great conversation. They would probably laugh. But at the end of the day, they would not probably agree on a lot of things. And then I went on to expound that we have to get over the fact that To show dignity and respect to another human being doesn't mean I have to agree with them. Jesus did this several times. In John 8, we can read the story of Jesus saving the life of a woman caught in adultery. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders, all were ready to stone this lady. And we can go into depth with it, but we know the story is that Jesus stepped in and he prevented her from being stoned. Now, does that mean Jesus agreed with her adultery? That he approved of her adultery? Not at all. But he showed her love and dignity at the lowest point in her life, in which she was about to be killed. But this is what Jesus said to her in John 8:11. Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, sin no more. On one hand, he saved her life. On the other hand, he didn't approve of her sin. It is possible to show love with someone to whom you disagree. The Apostle Paul in Romans 12 is ultimately talking about us trusting God when we have enemies, and how we should trust God to the point of letting God take care of what we disagree with about that person. And this is what we read in the rest of the passage in Romans 12, 19 through 11, or 21. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. To do this means we have to trust God. There's something inside of us that as human beings, we want to punish the other person. But God says, don't punish the other person. Don't let evil take you over. Trust me. Trust me that I will take care of the problem. But your role is to show love. My role, I'll take care of my role. In Matthew 5, 38 through 40, it says, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I, Jesus, say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. This doesn't make sense in our world. This is crazy stuff, that we would forgo our right to get back at another human being. This goes against our human nature. This is something that requires God's help. And think about it. For most of us, the treatment we ever will receive in the United States and Canada is nothing compared to Christians throughout the world. Christians throughout the world are in fear of losing their life or the life of someone they love, all because they have enemies that really want to persecute and torture them. In America, we have disagreements and we go crazy and put something on Facebook to justify our action. But in reality, God says, trust me. Show love and dignity and respect. Bless. Don't curse. Pray for your enemy. Is it possible to look like this and love like this? The last words of this passage that are profound, it says, "Repay no one evil. Live peaceably with all." If you're a parent of small children that like to get at each other, wouldn't that be a great plaque? Live peaceably with all. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. Overcome evil with good. Underlying all of this is the simple truth that in the midst of our struggle with enemies, God is saying, trust me. Trust me that I know better. That when you're hurt, accused, tortured, punished by your enemy, love them anyways. And that's what really should set apart Christians. So let's pray. Holy Father, in the midst of Romans 12, we are challenged. We're challenged by a lot of these short little 3-4 word phrases that if we could embody and live them, our lives and the lives around us would be different. And then we're challenged by the fact that we're to even love and care and bless and pray for our enemies. What a crazy thought, Lord, that we should love like you. And yet that is what we're challenged with. And so, Lord, as we look at Romans 12, may we not forget these phrases. May we embody them, and may we show Christ to a world that desperately needs him. We pray this in your name. Amen.